Sanhedrin Perek Vav Mishnah Vav 6:6, the last of the Perek, and we're wrapping up the story of the Niskal, the person who was stoned. So we had ended up saying that he can't be buried in his family burial plot because of this title Rasha that he has, but it's temporary. Assuming he did tshuva and did net vidui prior to his dying. So then, Nis Akel HaBasar, once he has fully decomposed, equal literally is like a digestion. So Nis Akel, kind of like the ground digested him, if you will, the flesh of the executed. So then Malaktin Es HaAtzamos, then his bones are gathered up. V'kovernoson Bimkoman, they are then buried in their proper place, meaning in the family burial plot or in the cemetery where the stake is, once he's gone through this decomposition. So there's a reburial here, although normally we don't tamper with the corpse of a dead person. We do if it's for their benefit, like for example to reinter them in Eretz Yisrael or into their family burial plot because a person wants to be buried over there with the rest of his family. Vahakrovim, the relatives of this deceased, Ba'in v'sholem b'shalom hadayanim u'v'sholem ha'edim. They, after the execution, so just follow the story here, we're like the sequence of the Mishnah is sort of jumping back and forth in time. We've jumped back now to the kind of the moments after the execution. And at that point, the relatives of the executed should be going to the judges and the witnesses who did this, and they should sort of greet them, I guess say goodbye or something like that. Okay, hello, goodbye. Sholem b'sholem literally means inquire about them. But the point is give them some kind of greeting, kolomar, which would imply, not literally, not explicitly, but implicitly it implies, she'ein b'libeinu aleichem klum. We're not harboring any kind of resentment against you for killing our relative. She'din emes dantem, because we accept that what you did was just, it was a just case and a just judgment. So they're not saying this explicitly. First of all, obviously the people who just lost their relative could be grieving terribly and not capable of saying such a thing. And second of all, it wouldn't be much of a kavod to the mace, and there still could be obligations to have kavod for the mace. To start saying worse things is not okay. So they just simply say something kind of short and polite to the judges to make it clear that they're not harboring this ill will. V'lohayo misablin. There's a separate prohibition. We don't mourn over a Rasha who died. It's sort of a kavod to the mace, and this person doesn't deserve that kind of kavod. So therefore, the relatives will not sit shiva, if you will. Avelus. Aval onin. However, the Mishnah acknowledges that grief is a real possibility, and that's totally in bounds, halachically in bounds. We understand that people could grieve over the loss of their relative. It's painful and hurts terribly, regardless of whether or not, quote unquote, they deserved it, or whatever they did. She'ein aninus ela velev, says the Mishnah, because grieving is something which happens sort of in your heart. And the internal experience of suffering, the Torah doesn't, almost never legislates against how you feel. And accepts people can be suffering. So that we're saying here, there's no crime or impropriety with the relatives feeling very sad and grief over the loss of their relative, regardless of what the relative did to get himself killed. But a formal avelus is not done, and even when you reinter the bones a second time, there won't be this like yom likut atzamos. There won't be like a separate mourning period. Or day, morning, whatever the story is, none of that. And the idea, basically, this is kind of coming from the world of like dihui, which is like pushing off. The basic principle is once you push off the mourning, you don't revisit it later on. So even though the person becomes no longer a Rasha when you rebury him, and you could mourn him then, formally we don't. And this dihui is probably most familiar with you if you've ever been part of a mourning process. You know what, like the regalim, etc., like the festival holidays break the morning. So just for example, if a person died on Monday and the relatives are sitting shiva for them on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday is Shavuos, so then they of course don't do the morning on Shavuos, but on Thursday when Shavuos is over, they don't resume the morning. Shiva is over, okay? Because it's pushed off. Once it's pushed off, it stays pushed off. So similarly over here, we're pushing off the morning because of the time of the death and the burial. He had a title of a Rasha. So even though now he's been alleviated of that title, he stopped being a Rasha, still there's no mourning because we pushed it off, and once pushed off, it's always pushed off.